for standing up against censorship.
In my opinion, you failed as a reporter.
From the inside? Yes, there's a narrative. Yes, it is unspoken. But if you accidentally step outside the narrative, if you don't sense what that narrative is and go with it, there will be grave consequences for you.
It's not just about the viewers. It's about what our CEO reads. It's about what our GM reads.
My question is very simple. Why are you doing this?
It affects the viewers. That's why I'm doing this. The viewers are being deceived by a carefully crafted narrative in some stories.
I have passed on Bitcoin stories. African-American audience of 5, it's probably not going to play. That's a choice I'm making. An editorial choice?
That seems sort of a racially charged statement to make.
I want out of this narrative news telling. I want out of this corruption.
Are you afraid of doing this?
I haven't had a lot of fear about it. I'm so horrified at what the news business has stooped to.
What you just heard was our newest insider, Fox 26 reporter Ivory Hecker, blowing the whistle on her own network's bias. Hecker felt compelled to come forward and shine a light on what she says is Fox 26 being, quote, deceptive to viewers.
Fox came at my throat for standing up against censorship. Fox Corp is prioritizing corporate interests above the viewers' interests and therefore operating in a deceptive way.
I have passed on Bitcoin stories. African-American audience of 5, it's probably not going to play. That's a choice I'm making, an editorial choice.
You need to cease and desist posting about hydroxychloroquine.
Not just about the viewers, it's about what our CEO reads.
You need to stand for something or fall for anything.
Ivory, what do you do at Fox 26 Houston?
I'm a reporter, dayside reporter, primarily on the 5 o'clock news, also 6 o'clock news.
And why have you chosen to come forward?
What's happening within Fox Corp is an operation of prioritizing corporate interests above the viewers' interests and therefore operating in a deceptive way. Viewers are being deceived about some of the things that are going on. From my experience, my newsroom kind of groups everyone.
Okay. Hello, Ivory Hecker, Fox 26 reporter. This is the Fakeologist speaking. It is June the 16th, 2021. It is 8:35 in the p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. I'm checking in to you from Toronto on Terrible Canada, the lockdown capital, the PSYOP capital, the COVID capital, the communitarianism capital of Canada. This is where it all is centralized in Canada. And this is where I broadcast from. And I do this show Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And I bring to you Fakeologist.com and Fakotube.com my posts and my videos of the day. And I give my commentary on fakery, fakeology, and psyops. And we're in the middle of the largest, biggest, most widespread worldwide psychological operation, marketing campaign, drug sales event in the history of the world. There's no way out of it. There's nowhere to run. Every country is syndicated, synchronized, and doing the same thing, mainly, with slight variations of the theme. And because we're fakeologists, we're trying to figure it out. And I compile what I think are the best truth tellers, and I put it on a blog and on a video platform, and hopefully it resonates with you. And if you think the same way, I certainly welcome your discussion. If you think I'm wrong, I welcome that too. But I've been doing this since 2012. So this is year 9 for me, and I think I've got a good handle on it. I really do. I think I got a good handle on it. Fakeologist.com/blog is my, it's really where I make my notes and I present them to you. And my main thesis is that at the most, quaxines are do nothing, and at the worst, they kill you quickly or slowly. And I am trying to be as skeptical about the negative side of the Quaxenine campaign as the next guy. But sometimes I slip into the idea that they really are the powers that be, the eugenicists that are at the top, the Sabbatean Franks, whoever is pulling the strings. I really think they are trying to shake the world into a whole new way of thinking. They really want people to stop enjoying life. They really want people to reduce their carbon, which is humans are carbon. So it's a roundabout way saying we want you to off yourself and save the earth in the process. And no one believed the climate change hoax, but it seems like a lot of people believe this virus hoax. And it's hard to argue with something you can't see. It's hard to argue with propaganda. And when there's only a few people that are telling you that it's the inverse of what is really going on that's true, it's even for people like me who is immersed in looking for the truth, it's the propaganda is just relentless. And the peer pressure is relentless because most people succumb to the propaganda. It's really, really difficult to resist. But I come here to rejuvenate. I go to the Discord to rejuvenate. That's our audio chat, our text chat, where you can just chat. I had a nice chat earlier with Purple Play, a lovely woman from California. She left a little message from this afternoon. I did talk to her subsequent to this message. She says, all the evidence of vaccine damage that is in that Nobel Prize winner document, we'd better save that before it gets taken down. That should be required reading. I also will posting the forum, the patent data, very telling of these mRNA injections. By the way, the patents were given in 2016. She is saying she's going to post in the forum. So I'm going to send her a message saying, make sure you post at fakeologist.com/forums2. Now that's my forum. And most people leave their stuff in the Discord. And I don't have control over the Discord platform. I don't own it. But I do own the Fakeologist text forum. And we'll just go there real quick and show you. You go to fakeologist.com. And everything's rooted at fakeologist.com. You go there and type forums 2. Our biggest forum right now is the coronavirus hoax 2020. I guess I should put 20, probably name that 2030. But so far it lists the different topics in reverse chronological order, it looks like. So the last post was made by Zalphalex on June the 4th. So it's not a really active forum, and if you go to the bottom, you should be able to see how many people are looking. Who's online? Nobody. So most of my membership doesn't go there. I have to make it easier to find, but at least if you go there, you can see stuff that's been there for a long time. And at least it gets saved. I post a lot of stuff there. Not enough stuff there, apparently. Actually, I've only made 69 posts. Interesting. You click. It's just a very, very good piece of software, though. Highly recommend it. And stuff sticks there forever, and you can search for it. So, yeah, go there. Now, I broadcast. If you want to know where I'm broadcasting tonight, just go to fakeologist.com/live. I broadcast an audio stream, and I also broadcast a video stream where I'm just sharing my screen. Let's see how many people are listening in tonight on the audio. No, only one. Okay. You know what? You know the reason is I forgot to send an email out. I'm not very consistent with my different procedures. And tonight I got in a little late. I had to do the exercise thing. It's part of my routine. And I didn't send out an email. Sorry about that. But I think I've been pretty reliable this week to show up. I like everyone to use the Fakeologist FakoTube chat. So go to FakoTube.com and click the live button. And then you're going to see that if you click on the live screen here, it'll bring you to this page. And then right here on the bottom, somewhere, right here, there's the chat icon. So if you click on that, it brings up the chat. So there you go. That's that. And on the blog tonight, East Congo villagers may be the smartest people on earth. And I listened to this topic on one of the videos or audios I listened to today. And basically, oh yeah, maybe it was Amazing Polly. She was saying that the people of the Congo, they just do not trust vaccinations because they know that the World Health Organization or World Health Organization has been trying to poison them with vaccines and sterilization agents for a long time. So that's how they plan on... Instead of just shooting people, they plan on sterilizing people and waiting a generation. And I don't think the COVID vaccination is going over very well in Nigeria and the Congo. So they have memories. And I'm not sure what kind of propaganda they get. I'm sure many areas are just like here. They're probably all using smartphones. But I don't know if their own government is propagandizing them. I looked up a story because they had the Ebola thing, the Ebola, which I believe is named after the Ebola River in the Congo, and a lot of people are suggesting that like almost every vaccine, it's a cover story for chemical poisoning, and I believe it was for maybe some of the anti-malarial pesticides they put in the area and then leached into their water supply. That is the number one way I think people get poisoned is through water, obviously. You drink a lot of water to sustain life. And if you drink enough of it and you eat enough water through vegetables and fruit, and those toxins bioaccumulate either in the fruit or in you when you drink water, and that's where you get flu-like symptoms. And if everyone gets sick at the same time, people think, oh, it's because they're passing it on to each other. No, it's because they're all exposed to the same toxins. It works both ways. And the way that I like to think of poisoning people's terrain makes way more sense, because I believe that viruses are not contagious. Okay, here's a solution post. And back we go to canucklaw.ca. I actually reached out to Ronnie and asked her to come on the show. Again, she hasn't responded. Because she does have a book called 2020? Well, let's look at her site. I think she has a book called 2020, I believe. Interesting.
Up look like, you know, which activities have, like...
Have you heard Bill Gates lately? Me neither. So let's play a bit of Bill Gates. He's obviously disappeared from the scene. I think he wore out his welcome and they used the divorce to get him off the front pages.
Schools have such benefit and can be done in a way that the risk of transmission is very low.
Yeah.
And which activities like mass gatherings may be in a certain sense more optional. And so until you're widely vaccinated, those may not come back at all. But with the economy, you know, we can bring it back. You know, there will be a point where we have the vaccine.
I don't know about you. I can't stand looking or watching that guy. He's almost as bad as this guy.
Earlier today, we released our modeling on how we think this pandemic might unfold. The modeling shows that COVID-19 arrived in Canada later than in other countries. So we're in an earlier stage of the outbreak.
You know, so he said modeling, not the actual, the modeling. Amazing.
That means we have the chance to determine what our country looks like in the weeks and months to come. Our healthcare systems across the country are coping for the time being, but we're at a fork in the road between the best and the worst possible outcomes. The best possible outcome is no easy path for any of us. The initial peak, the top of the curve, may be in late spring with the end of...
Yeah. So her book is called, Ronnie's book is called 2021, The Untold Story of the... Yeah, so that's her book. And that's where she's put her research. And actually, I should send her an email, actually. I don't know why people bother obscuring their email. Because everyone has enough spam filters that I don't think they really need to block or obscure their email. I know I get tons of email, most of it's spam. I don't even see it. The filters get rid of it. So I think that's a waste. So I'll just send her a quick message saying, would you like to do a show on your new book? So I'll send it to her because I sent her a direct message. Obviously, she didn't get it because she is ignoring me. So that means probably she just didn't get it. Listeners. Nope, nobody's listening tonight. Okay, well, that's fine. Actually, I'm looking at the wrong statistics on who's listening. That's not good. No one's listening to the audio chat because the audio chat is closed. But on... Oh, I got lots of listeners tonight. I better perform. Or three listeners. Two listeners. I got Richmond and Akron, Ohio. So thank you guys for listening in. I hope I make some sense tonight. Let's go back to the blog. Actually, why don't we go over... So, oh, yeah, I was... She was describing the solutions. How are you going to get out of the quaxine? And... let's see here. Argue over jurisdiction, on who has jurisdiction. Okay. Or argue that... We have the Canadian Charter of Rights to get out of being mandatory vaccinated. Everyone has the freedom of conscience and religion. Okay, those are all pretty good. Number five. Claim to be on other medications. Yeah, well, there's no one tracking all the medications people are on. That's for sure. Your doctor barely knows. And actually, the doctors... The main pill pushers of the allopathic system, they probably don't even know about the interactions the same way, say, a pharmacist knows. Fake being trans if needed. Oh, that's a silly one. That's funny. Well, no, they said it's serious. Ever since Bill C-16 passed, which modified both the criminal code and human rights code, gender identity and expression has been considered protected grounds. While this poorly defined expression has caused problems, there is a solution here. If a person of authority ever insists that you need to be vaccinated, immediately ask how the vaccine will react with the hormones you are taking for your trans medication. This should cause most people to back off, but if the person doesn't, then demand answers. If need be, threaten to lodge a human rights complaint against them. Interesting. Not bad. Weaponize the human rights code. This option involves fully weaponizing the human rights codes and any other such acts your area may have. It involves making completely bogus complaints of discrimination based on the most harmless of innocuous things, such as a joke taken out of context. Yes, this is going to be full social justice warrior. Use the person of racism, sexism, or whatever may tangentially apply. Your well-being comes first. While a forced vaccination seems extremely far-fetched, there's at least the possibility of it happening. So people need to air out some solutions. Here they are in order of most to least preferred. And yeah, so actually quite a few different solutions here. And I only saw this because Bobby today made a comment on this post. So this post, she made this last year, May 6, 2020. And I still think it's coming, mandatory vaccinations. The stores here in Toronto, including IKEA, which is a World Economic Forum sponsor or associated, they have a sign that says you either wear a mask or show proof of vaccination. So that's pretty hardcore. I don't know if the minimum wage furniture clerk is qualified to validate a vaccination record, but I don't even know if there's an official document at this time. It's all slave training for the future, because what's going to happen is they're going to require a digital proof that they administer, or China administers, and it'll be centralized around the world. That's going to take some time. Right now, we're just in the conditioning phase. And again, this is the time to fight back, I think, because if everyone rebels at this transitory stage, it should theoretically be harder for them to bring it in a digital form. Not impossible, but probably more difficult. All right, back to the blog. Pretty good video by Miss Amanda Vollmer. It's on FakeaTube. This is about polio, because I've heard this before as well. But polio was cured with the vaccine. That's what we're told. This is how you answer that.
Every single time, which is few and far between, because frankly, I choose to invest my time in those who need my assistance and those who understand what is going on. But every single time I encounter one of the herded masses, the deeply hypnotically tranced, drooling, brainwashed group of individuals that really can't seem to think it through or do any level of research, I get the exact same stock, repeating, bleeding, bleh, but polio. I am so tired of this in regards to the fact that it looks like these people cannot advance their mind in any which way, to the point which they are just bouncing off the exact same repeater that their handlers have sold them through propaganda. Well, let's just address this in a few quick minutes, shall we? I'll share my screen with you, and I'll show you a couple of things. Here, Health Freedom Idaho, one such example. And there is so much evidence and information. This is a drop in the bucket. I am just going to show you a couple of things that helps you to understand that polio is not a virus, that polio vaccines did not eradicate polio, that polio was actually a poisoning. It was caused by DDT, a pesticide, and another pesticide called Paris Green. Both of these neurologically damaging chemicals can lead to symptoms that have caused what you think is some professional, high-minded, scientific description of this viral, you know, floating evil thing that's coming to get you. First of all, no virus actually exists as described. The germ theory was put into place to ensure the control over the populations so that they could be easily manipulated into fear and therefore into useless.
Anyway, take a listen to Amanda. This is on FakeoTube.com. I just looked up Paris Green because I've never heard of it. An insecticide, a pigment, and like all the super toxic chemicals, invented in Germany by Russ and Sattler of the Wilhelm Dye and White Lead Company. of Schweinfurt, Bavaria. Wow. Man, they I think they invented sarin, too, in Germany. Paris green. In 1867, farmers in Illinois and Indiana found that Paris green was effective against the Colorado potato beetle, an aggressive agricultural pest. Despite concerns regarding the safety of using arsenic compounds on food crops, Paris green became the preferred method for controlling the beetle. By the 1880s, Paris green had become the first widespread use of a chemical insecticide in the world. It was also used widely in the Americas to control the tobacco budworm Heliothys viruscans. Paris green was heavily sprayed by airplane in Italy, Sardinia, and Corsica during 1944 and in Italy in 1945 to control malaria. It was once used to kill rats in Parisian sewers, which is how it acquired its common name. Ah, so it is related to Paris. It seems to me that it's really these toxic insecticides, pesticides, that are the main cause of most human problems. Because we eat the food we spray it on, or we drink the water we spray it in. So we're trying to kill other animals, albeit very small ones like insects, and because it does such a good job paralyzing them to death, well, it doesn't kill us because we're quantum times bigger in mass than insects, but it does cause many effects that cause us to be ill. So it all seems to boil down to, well, arsenic seems to be one of the worst, most poison chemicals. Sarin, all kinds. But basically, they're used for good, to control pests, to allow industrialized crops. But man, the side effects on human, or the effects on humans, I got to stop using the word side. They are just direct effects on humans are just horrific. So there's Paris green. So there, I just learned something else new today. Okay, I watched an Amazing Polly. I like Amazing Polly, another Canadian. She did a video on...
Let me tell you a story about two real breaches of security at a level 4 microbiology lab. And that lab is in Canada. Today's video is a piece of another research project that I'm working on, which surrounds Canada and their role in this whole global public health mafia. This is just a slice. And
I've never seen the setup she's had before, but I was wondering what this is. This is her mic, and it almost looks like it's backwards. Usually the label goes forward. She never sounds like she's directly talking to the mic, but I like her as a researcher. And she's talking about, we have a level 4 lab in Winnipeg. Now, Winnipeg's in Manitoba, and Manitoba, coincidentally, is getting one of the hardest smackdowns in all of Canada. I really think it has something to do with it. There's two centers of control in Canada. Toronto for the Paul Dalla School of Public Health, which is a Rockefeller-inspired school of hygiene and public health. London has the other big one. Johns Hopkins is in Baltimore. And in Winnipeg, we have our equivalent of Fort Detrick or Wuhan labs, where they allegedly handle all these viruses, these deadly viruses. And what she's talking about, and maybe that's why Manitoba has to get a special spanking, because they've got this lab that's the centerpiece of the whole worldwide scam as well. But Polly is talking about some of the Chinese scientists that are in, supposedly smuggled out the virus to Wuhan. And my take on this is that it's all misdirection, all of it. There is no deadly virus because, as you know, I think they've got it wrong. Viruses or the microzyma in our bodies is smaller than bacteria cells by a factor of 1 or 2,000 times, are there to help and repair our body when it's injured from toxemia. So all this talk about vials and thugs and spies and Wuhan and Winnipeg, they're all misdirection. I don't know what Amazing Polly's stand is on the terrain germ theory, but anytime you're not explicitly talking about it, you're wasting time. So that's where that's my entire summary of her video. You don't need to watch it because I think it's total misdirection. And at this point, if you're not spending all your time looking into virus terrain theory, then you're wasting your time. And one of my favorite people, of course, who does that on a daily basis, sometimes 5 or 10 times, posting great stories, is Amanda Vollmer, another Canadian lady. And she is pounding out the stories one after the other on Telegram. So please take a look at her Telegram. It's fantastic. Okay, here we go. See, she does this every day, so really sign up for that. She's got 5,000 subscribers and growing. The number one question I get when I explain to people that viruses are not alive, nor are they contagious, is how do you explain people who get sick together? It's a good question. People appear to get sick together for a variety of reasons, including they ate the same foods. They were exposed to the same toxin at roughly the same time, common for groups of people like families and classrooms and gyms, etc. They indulge in refined sugar over the same holidays. This one is big. No one should wonder why they get sick during any holiday season. Poison in equals detox out. That's probably my biggest problem, is refined sugar. I've got to stop it. I can't stop it, but I should. Or our bodies communicate to each other on levels we don't understand. Yeah, this one is definitely harder to prove, but there may be something to it. Another reason is this one. We all have a tendency as humans to fall for confirmation bias. Confirmation bias keeps us safe. Humans do not like their beliefs challenged. Continued in the comments. Confirmation bias means we will automatically seek information which confirms our existing programmed thoughts, and we dismiss unconsciously any information which does not fit the pre-programmed ideas. If 5 children in a class of 20 experience detox symptoms around the same time, and we have been taught to believe the myth of contagion, we see the 5 children and we get our bias confirmed. However, we completely ignore the 15 other children who have no detox symptoms. We ignore them because they do not reinforce the pre-programmed bias, so our brains automatically filter that information and put less weight on that information. Oftentimes, what you see is not really the reality. Yeah, that is fantastic. So, yeah, if 5 people get sick, we assume, because of our pre-programmed bias, that they caught it from each other. We ignore the 15, the majority by a factor of 3, that have no symptoms at all, which we normally call that healthy. Now, I know today we call it asymptomatic, which means you have no symptoms, which most people call healthy. They actually took the word asymptomatic and turned it into a marketing term. Fantastic. They are wordsmiths extraordinaire. So this is the kind of stuff Amanda posts, and this is the kind of stuff I think we should talk about all the time. We should not get sidetracked. I post a lot of her stuff on my blog. She is just fantastic, and I really want people to follow Amanda. So here we go. All right, digital wallet for crypto and social credit. This is a new blog I found. I found it by way of a link to the Anti-Communitarian League's Nikki, and I forget her last name. She She's the one that says Rosa Corey ripped her off. But on her Facebook, she had some link to this site, itntnews.news, which I think is a Belgian service. The post here is all about the new world wallet, the new digital worldwide wallet that's being developed all over the place. Every country, I think, is doing their own. But perhaps one will become a standard and spread in the different regions. Like, for instance, it says here, KBC, a Belgian bank, it launched a new service for its customers, which enables customers to check and share their COVID status, lab results, medical reports, and prescriptions. Part of KBC Mobile, the new service works with Helena, a digital health portal for doctors, pharmacists, and their patients. And it also is going to be connected to digital currency. And this person who does the research said it was quite difficult to find out who is operating Helena. And I don't know much about Belgium. And I don't know much about the people there and the corporations there. But it also includes a new service, an upcoming digital coin. So everyone is getting on the blockchain with their own coin. So they want to all put it all in a digital vault where customers can allegedly store their medical records, their privacy, coins. So it's really going to centralize quite a few things. And I think this blog is really hip to this whole communitarian social credit score system. And as I've talked about last night, I'm really getting into looking into communitarianism. And I've posted a couple links on another blog of mine. These are all sub-blogs of mine. Whenever it doesn't quite fit the fakery angle, I almost, by the way, thought of starting a COVID sub-blog, but then I think I'd have too many blogs, so. But if it's just a quick tweet-like thing that I want to save in perpetuity, I put it on savechat.fakeologist.com. And here we go. So here is another blog. There's quite a few blogs on communitarianism. And one thing that, let me just see if I can find Nikki. Nikki is on Facebook. Nikki, sorry, my name, mine keeps blanking out on who Rosa Corey said ripped her off. But let's just go. Oh, yeah, Nikki Rapana. Man, I have a hard time finding her out. Okay. I did a show, or I listened to a show with Nikki, and I'm going to play a bit of it because it was pretty good. I posted anything that's pretty good goes on fakeotube.com. So I think I got to load that up. Let's see here. Only one live listener left. Okay, here it is here. Fakeotube, let's go.
We're all the same. We all think the same way. My mask protects you. Your mask protects me. What do you think of that kind of approach?
Well, that's how they're selling it. Definitely. Okay. That they care about community. They are the community. They represent the community. They defend what they call community rights. Or if you're, you know, coming out of Rio, it's the rights of Mother Earth. They create rights for entities that don't, they're not individuals. So who protects them? If you have the rights of the community, who's the one that is standing up for that community? Well, it's them. They're self-appointed. They define themselves as the community. Everything they publish says this is what the community wanted. So everyone in the community who actually lives there, they go, well, I never even heard about this. Well, you're not really the community. You're just one of the people that happen to live there. You're a resident. You know, it's not community. You're not the community. So that's a key word. They get to use it. We're all in this together. No, we're not. It's them and it's us.
So true.
When you're doing anything for the community, you're doing it for them, not for anybody around you.
So when did it dawn on you that the classic two slices of the kosher sandwich, the one slice being the Zio capitalism wielding usury and the other slice being the Bolshevik communist totalitarianism where they deceive workers into overthrowing
they always go on elite. About the Zionist angle. I think that's where Nikki is in her research. And she lives in Alaska in a yurt right now. So as much as I sympathize with her idea that Rosa ripped her off, I think Rosa took the whole Agenda 21 discussion to a whole new level that Nikki could never or never wanted or specialized in doing. Now, if you want to look into Nikki and communitarianism and Agenda 21, it's very relevant today because, as I've said on past shows, every single thing that's happening in the world, the post-nation state, the mega regions, the mega city, is based on this new communitarianism religion. So she is Nikki Friedrich Rapana, and she lives in Alaska, and looks like she studied in Massachusetts, and she's pretty darn interesting. And, oh, here we go. Yeah, so I'm seeing a lot of this now. I don't know if this is atrocity propaganda. But you're seeing more and more young people being shown to take the vaccine and then dying within 2 weeks. So I've got this story, and I just looked on Nikki's page now, so she's big on Facebook. And here we go. An 18-year-old takes the vaccination, blood clots, blah, blah, blah. Man, dying 2 weeks later. It's crazy. Oh, by the way, at least she's good with the hat tips and attributions. So it's at least she's following her own advice that when she gets a story, sort of what I try and do, she puts hat tip. So that's actually pretty good. Wow, my answer is because, oh, I see. So here's another post. My thoughts on all the drama I'm seeing in the activist community. Many on the right refuse to word the big Z word because they're shills in the game. Many on the left are the same way. Both sides are pushing us into the perfect middle synthesis of harmonic discordance and peaceful violent revolution. The dialectic is waged on many fronts and in many ways. You're expected to pick a side and side any side and ignore the predetermined communitarian solutions. Yeah, pretty interesting. I agree that, at least in the United States, they always put it in the left or right paradigm because that is the only way Americans seem to be able to look at the world, left or right. Everything is left or right. Well, that's pretty interesting. Doesn't have too many readers on her blog. She's big on BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street Capital, the three biggest corporations that control up to $20 trillion. So yeah, they're involved in almost every single company. I see. Interesting. So she's big on Zionism. She thinks it's the big enemy. Yeah, so go to her Facebook. Lots of it. She talks about communitarianism. She doesn't like it. And like I said, she has a book. So we'll quickly look at that book. I haven't had a chance to look at that yet. She's got ACL Books. So the cure for communitarianism. There we go. Looks like she's got lots of articles, lots of books. What's the other one she's got? The other thing I thought was interesting about Nikki, I know I'm sort of veering off topic here, is she was writing about anti-communitarianism for the last 20 years. And she said in her audio that I posted here that they predicted 2020, 20 years ago, for be the introduction of humanitarianism. I had never heard anyone predict 2020 for anything before. But she was predicting this in the early 2000s. So that I thought that's interesting. She said she did not expect the virus to be the lever to get this put into place. But this is a pretty good audio, thanks to Xylophilex for finding it. And actually, we should just do a quick search on the YouTube, see if she was in any other audios. Take a pick here. Oh, there she is there. She has a YouTube channel. Okay, here's something.
Community policing is a program that was introduced under the Clinton administration. It was authorized and funded under the Violent Crime Act in 1994. Community policing is a theory that individual rights have broke down the moral fiber of society. It's a hodgepodge of every ideology and every religion on the planet, pretty much. There's a piece of everything in there. They're trying to make it a fair and a just world for everyone, but for no one in particular. And basically what the law does at the national and international level is protect global trading rights over national and local businesses. And at the local level, communitarian law balances the rights of the individuals against the rights of the community at large. The new police are targeting average people. First, they're targeted in the meetings by the local stakeholders that will come. They'll invite the citizens to come in and identify the problems in the neighborhood or how they're going to build a better community. It's all tied into rebuilding community. It's the same MO in Iraq as it is in the United States. A small group of paid facilitators, professional advisors come to the community and they start holding what they call either stakeholder meetings or visionings. And they want to talk about the future and they want everyone at the meetings to help them identify the values that they'd like to maintain in the community and what the standards are.
Anyway, I didn't realize she has such a big YouTube channel. So I'm going to have to look at it.
He discusses communitarianism within its philosophical traditions. Instead, his sprawling and consistent and intellectually deficient writings are pragmatic and aimed at an audience of...
Maybe I started watching this after all. Oh, so she wrote
some people out there in our nation.
Oh, this is funny. She put this clip in from this Miss USA candidate.
I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. Or should help South Africa.
This poor woman, she has been used in more education mockery clips than just about any other person ever. This was the opinion part of Miss USA or whatever it was, and she just got roasted.
It should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for our children.
Thank you very much, South Carolina.
South Carolina, the poor woman. Jeez. Actually, you should look that up just for fun. Miss South Carolina.
The last person
there. Oh man, this poor girl. I wonder if she's ever survived this thing. Caitlin Upton. We should look her up. We should see how she is today.
Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because...
U.S. Americans, I love that, U.S. Americans.
Some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should...
71 million views.
Education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for our children.
Thank you very much, South Carolina.
Poor girl. Let's look her up. Let's just look her up for fun. Caitlin Upton. What's that? Where is Caitlin Upton now? Then and now. Okay. Caitlin Upton, Miss South Carolina Teen USA. Let's see what they have to say. Come on. Where's the audio?
In the last week, you guys, two women, 20-year-old Chesley Crist and 18-year-old Carolee Garris, joined 25-year-old Nia Franklin. The trio are marking the first ever group of black women to all wear the crown of major American beauty pageants at the same time. Yeah, that makes me so excited.
It's a monumental kind of moment here. And Chesley Crist, who's a lawyer from Charlotte, North Carolina, won the Miss USA title last Thursday night. Now, Crist holds a law degree and an MBA from Wake Forest University. She's currently a civil litigation attorney who does pro bono work to reduce sentences for inmates. So she's doing really great work
there. Beauty and
brain. There you go. A feminist at heart, Crist has faced a bias, even in the courtroom. She said, quote, glass ceilings can be broken wearing either a skirt or pants.
Yes, queen. Connecticut's own Carolee Garris won Miss Teen USA.
Well, I don't think they're talking about it, but here's what happened. I'll tell you right now. Although she would place third runner-up for it was Miss Teen USA, Upton might as well have won for all the attention that would flood in. Unfortunately, nearly all of it was unwelcome, and years later she would speak candidly with the New Yorker about the deep difficulties. Hold on a sec. Of navigating young adulthood with a reputation that entered each room before her. I definitely went through a period where I was very, very depressed. But I never let anyone see that stuff except for the people I could trust, she said in 2015. I had some very dark moments where I thought about committing suicide. She continued, it was awful. It was every single day for 2 years. The buzz would definitely eventually die down, and she went brunette, which curbed the immediate recognition from strangers. Oh, man, a blonde going to brunette? What a waste. In addition to booking modeling gigs, she was a finalist on The Amazing Race in 2010. Wow. She also got married in 2016. And then now she's finalizing her divorce. She's on Instagram and is a model. Let's just see if she's on there. Caitlin. I know this is not Fakeology, but this is kind of interesting. Let's see where she is. Gotta be super famous. Let's see how many followers. She's not bad. Well, that might be. Yeah, this is her. Wow. Interesting. Well, maybe she did have a child, it looks like. Interesting. Oh, good for her. Good for her. That's really interesting, though. Wow, what a story. Interesting story. Okay, enough of that. I'll follow her anyway through my account. Okay, well, it is 9:30. I did start a little late. But it looks like I'm going to be watching some Nikki Rapana videos. I'm still really interested in this whole communitarianism thing. I really think it's one of the main things they're pushing right now with the COVID New World Order. I really need to do a little more research, and you might want to do it too, because It's the only thing that makes sense right now for what, everything they're doing. And it's definitely a big chunk of this PSYOP. Big chunk. So let's just scroll down here. Okay. Okay, let's end with a quote. Some show, Chris of Hoaxbusters Call, he used to begin with a quote. Let me end with a quote because my throat's getting dry and I'm getting tired. And I don't really have any compelling stuff tonight to talk about. But let's just probably end it at this point. Okay, end with the quote. Henry Kissinger. Today, America would be outraged if UN troops entered Los Angeles to restore order. Tomorrow, they will be grateful. This is especially true if they were told that there were an outside threat from beyond, whether real or promulgated, that threatened our very existence. It is then that all peoples of the world will plead to deliver them from this evil. The one thing every man fears is the unknown. When presented with this scenario, individual rights will be willingly relinquished for the guarantee of their well-being granted to them by the world government. Yeah, that's pretty much what's going on now. I know in Canada, people are, it really appears that people want to be delivered from this evil virus. So I really do believe that Henry Kissinger is correct. Let's take a quick look at, oh, here's just another article of another young person dying. It's really, really depressing. Again, I can't confirm any of this. Is it atrocity propaganda? I do not know. But it is really full on right now. Okay, let me go back to FakoTube and just double check that there wasn't a video that I wanted to show you guys. Nope, I didn't post too much today. Nope, not too much. Well, I don't know about you, but I am just all over the place with the different social medias right now. There's just so much to look at, to follow. So many great content creators. It's crazy. I can't even keep up. Well, that was the other thing, actually, that I thought was interesting. I believe that Nikki brought it up with communitarianism. They're big on fines. And one of the hallmarks of these policy mandates is fines. Fines here, fines there. They're corporate fines, they're bylaws, they're not laws, but they really use the fines as a stick. They don't really have any carrots. Well, I guess the carrots are going to be the green passes that you get from getting the vaccination that gets you in all the stores and on the flights. And hopefully it won't get too more obstructionist with being hooked up to everything that the government services offer. When services become authorities, that's the slippery slope, by the way, of socialism. When all these government services, they turn nasty and become authorities. And you lose the service because they're an authority that you have to obey. But I think she mentioned that in communitarian style laws of society, of the communitarian society, they have this fining system. And it's also Napoleonic law that you are assumed guilty and you have to prove your own innocence, and it's almost impossible to do so. So that's why I really think that it's important to study communitarianism, all its values, and just, I think we have communitarian society being overlaid over our individualist society. And they're literally just laying it over top of all our constitutions. The end result is, as she said, that it includes religion, It includes technocracy. And she said we're all struggling describing it because we are not familiar with communitarianism. We're using, and I've even said it, we are in a totalitarian medical dictatorship. But that's not really what we're in. It doesn't really, isn't a perfect fit. And the reason why we're having trouble describing it is because we've never, ever seen it implemented in any one place where we can just say, oh, that's what it is. So that's why I'm really focusing these days on this topic. I really think it's important. It really needs to be brought out in the open. And maybe people want this. Now, the old people won't want it because they know the benefits of individualism. But maybe young people are at a stage where they just want something different. So they're the most vulnerable, and this is what the COVIDian communitarianism cult is all about. CCC. They go for the young people. And the young people are probably more interested in it because apparently the learning system, the education system has really been infused with this whole religion over the last 20 years. So we have a whole generation now ready to take it to the next level because this is what they've been learning. And that was why I believe Nikki made a joke about Caitlin Upton with her very amusing response to why Americans can't find America on a world map. This communitarianism type education, although I don't think that's the real reason, but could have had something to do with it. But anyway, we won't go there anymore. We'll leave poor Caitlin alone. Anyway, if you like this show, send me an email, ima@fakeologist.com. Send me a donation at fakeologist.com/donate. And please share FakoTube. Please share Fakeologist. Please go to my forums. Please come to my Discord. There's lots there. There's lots to discuss. And actually, I had a nice chat with Purple Play earlier today. I'll post that later. And I also had Frank, an ounce of salt, on the call for a little bit. And hopefully I'll get an interesting guest so you don't have to hear me drone on for an hour. I'll try and line that up the next day if I can do that. But in the meantime, I'm going to sign off. It's 9:35 in the p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time, June 16th, 2021. Should I give the episode number? Does that matter? It doesn't really matter what this episode number is. It's FAK322. 322, Skull and Bones. All right. Have a good night and a good day. A good morning wherever you are at whatever time you're listening to this recording. We'll talk to you tomorrow, God willing.